hold your hand up for a second. You can practice being charismatic. It'll be great. So it's my charismatic joke. I've got Southern Baptist jokes today too. Anyways, I'm joking. I don't. I actually don't have any jokes. But in all seriousness, communion will be at the end of the service today. Now, we receive communion as a church, and we do this. We try to do it every 5 or 6 weeks. Sometimes it's longer than that. But we do communion when it fits the sermon. Today, it really fits the sermon in this talk in Ephesians. And so you want to make sure that you receive this together with us. Now, I will say this about communion. I think it's important that I mention this. When it comes to communion, people ask me sometimes, who can take communion? Do you have to be a member at Grace River? You don't have to be a member here to take communion, okay? Do you have to have your life all put together? No, you don't have to have your life all put together to take communion. Communion is really reserved for one type of person, a person that's put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. So it's the same like that with baptism, right? Like, who can get baptized? Perfect people? No, right? That's not the requirement for baptism. Perfection's not. The requirement for baptism is just that you've given your life to Jesus. In the same way, when it comes to communion, the requirement for receiving communion is that you understand that it was only through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that we have the hope that we have in Jesus. And so that's what communion's all about. And so, man, I hope that you receive this with us here later on this morning at the end of the sermon whenever we do communion. Today's big idea behind the sermon is this, is that Jesus didn't just improve your access to God. He removed every barrier entirely. I don't know if you're like me, but I hate passwords. Anybody else up there like that? Like, you just like, I absolutely, to the bane of my existence, passwords. I forget passwords all the time. In fact, I looked up a stat recently that said 95% of all Americans forget passwords. And so, like, that means there's 5% of you out there that are like a vault. Like, I don't know how you hold all that in. But, you know, some of them have to have a period at the end or exclamation point or whatever. Like, if you work at Grace River, you already know my 3 passwords. And so they could hack my identity. They would have no problem because, like, I keep it really simple, all right? I'm not going to share. They'd get mad at me if I did. But, like seriously, I absolutely. But the point behind passwords is access. Like, you log into your bank account, and what are you doing? You're wanting access into that bank account, right? You log in to your Gmail. What are you doing? You want access to your Gmail account, okay? We log into these. You log into Netflix because you want to binge watch a show, and hopefully you don't have to text somebody else in your family group chat to figure out what the new password is, right? Anybody else? Some of you are still stealing people's Netflix. I don't want to take a poll, but some of you, man, you're still living off of somebody else's Netflix account. You found a way. They've locked it down. They've made it tougher. But you should pay for your Netflix. Anyways, here's the thing. We all, when it comes to God, I think what we sometimes misunderstand about God is that we have this unlimited access to Him. And what comes with unlimited access is pretty amazing, because sometimes we think, man, yeah, I do want unlimited access to God because I want to experience the miracles of God. I want to experience God's, like, providential leadership in my life and for God to provide for me, and so maybe that's why you want this access to God. But what's interesting is the Apostle Paul talks about this unlimited access, and as he talks about it, it actually has nothing to do with miracles. And it actually has nothing to do with providence. Like, but what it instead has everything to do with is that you and I would understand the depth of God's love for us. How high, how deep, how wide this love is. And so we have unlimited access to God. And really the reason why we do is because of the person Jesus Christ. All right, so we're going to talk today. Really, I've got 3 or 4 quick things that I want to give you of why it is that we have this access to God and what this access really looks like. So you have unlimited access to God. The first thing here in Ephesians chapter 2 that we're going to find out is we have access to Jesus, but that is not through achievement. So the access that we have to Jesus is not through our own achievement. And if you go to church here, you've heard us talk about this a lot, but like I just need you to understand this. The access that you have to God is not because you're a good person or because you have your act together or because you're religious. In fact, let's just let the text do the work here. In Ephesians chapter 2, we'll start here in verse 5. It says this, but God, and this is a big but here, but God is so rich in mercy And he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved. Man, you and I experience this newness in life. We were, the language that Paul uses here is so dramatic. We were dead. Here's what I know about dead people. They don't have a shot at living by themselves. There's no way. You can't bring yourself back to life. And what's amazing is God did that. In fact, we skip down a few verses in verse 8 in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. This really drills down on the fact that this is not about achievement. God saved you by his grace when you were a good person. No, that's not what it says. God saved you by your grace when you were, by his grace when you were baptized. That's not what it says. God saved you when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not something that we earn. It's not about our achievements. And I think that's very countercultural. And like, for some of you in the room, you've been following Christ long enough, you're like, yeah, okay, I get it. It's not about my achievements. But I really want to drill down on this, even for the person that's been walking with Christ for years or decades, and you've just gotten used to that statement. I think what sometimes happens for us is that we forget the depth of our own sin, and we also get to this place of self-reliance, which is the darkest place you could ever get. Because ultimately, self-reliance says, I'm going to try harder, I'm going to do better, I'm going to do all of these religious achievements to make myself right with God. And what that all is about is a self-reliant life that says, I don't even know if I need God. And it's crazy because the harshest warnings that Jesus gave people were not to the filthy sinners. His harshest warnings were to righteous people that thought that they had their lives all put together. Why? Because of their religious achievements. They touted the fact that they had the first five books of the Bible memorized, or that they would paint their faces white and pray on street corners. Like, it's through self-achievement. And in these self-achieving moments, I just want to remind you, the longer you follow Christ, the more important it is to walk in humility and to realize that you're not God's gift to humanity, that you're broken, that you need Christ, and it's never been about you. It's never been about what you could do. It's been about what's been done for you. And so I cannot stress this enough, that when it comes to this unlimited access that we have to Jesus, I can't stress it enough. It's not about your accomplishments and your achievements. The second thing that we see here in the text is that it's access to Jesus is not limited. Like, it doesn't run out. Like, it's an unlimited access that you and I get here in verse 13 in the same chapter, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. It says this, "But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Jesus." Man, when it comes to access, I've always wanted to work at a place that had like a key card. I don't know. I thought that'd be like the coolest thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see some of you that have like that, like you go to work and like you beep into stuff. I think that's the coolest thing. You know, I don't even have a key to the building here. I don't. Like, I literally, like, I don't know. I don't like having a lot of keys. I'm like, so like I have my car key, but then I have like this put, it's not cool. It's not like a digital, like I push a code and I'm not supposed to tell you the code. Okay. I won't tell you the code. All right. But I pushed my code because Jacob would get mad at me. We had to change codes recently because I just give out the code. If you ask me privately, I'll give you the code. Anyways, because you can have access to the building. You have a party in here, whatever, right? So, like, I put my code in. It's 5440. Anyway, I put my code in, and then I get a manual key, and that's how fancy we are. But, dude, I would love it. It would be so cool. Like, one of the things got cut from the budget. There was some things that we were just trying in the latest remodel. One of the things where we were going to have cards like that was going to be like so dope. I was going to be so pumped. But it was one of those things like we just needed to get in the building, and it was like, yeah, we'll do it later, and we've never done it. Anyways, I envy you a little bit if you work at some fancy place that has a key code, like or a key code or like a little fobby thing. I think that's the coolest thing, right? And the whole thing really is about access, though, like to get access into something like that. But I share all that to say, you know, when it comes to this level of access, I think that we forget that you and I have this access to God. And the original hearers of this letter were Gentiles that were in Ephesus. And up until this point, there had been a pretty big wall between them and God. And the wall was this: for them to experience temple worship, Gentiles couldn't go into the temple. So it's the equivalent of this. Now, a Gentile was basically anybody that wasn't a Jew. So that's important that I give you like that context, okay? So there was Jewish people who could go into the temple and experience temple worship, and then there were Gentiles, which is just everybody else. And Gentiles kind of had to hang out in the lobby. Can you imagine that? Like they could maybe overhear some of the things that were happening in temple worship, but they weren't able to actually experience it for themselves. And so whenever Paul writes this in verse 13, I think it's important. I'm going to actually reread it so you understand like the context of what that really would be all about. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through, not your achievements, through what? The blood of Christ, like communion. The blood of Christ is why you and I, not the actual act of receiving communion, but the representation of communion, the blood of Christ is what it is that gives us access to this holy God. So it's not about Jew, Gentile, Methodist, Lutheran, Baptist, Catholic. None of those titles matter. What matters the most is that you and I have received what it is that Christ has done for us. It's not limited to your ethnic background, to your political background, to your past or your present. Like it's not limited to any of that. It didn't matter if you were Jew or Gentile. What Paul was expressing to this church in Ephesus is what he's expressing to us today. Jacob said it earlier, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter what you've done. Your access is not limited. Back to the key card thing for a second. I mean, can you imagine you work for a company that has the cool key card thing. I think that'd be just, again, I think that's just so cool, right? And it's a bigger company, just to make pretend for a moment, it's a bigger company that you work for, but it's kind of family owned. People that are in the family, like the family members that are kind of extended family, they have access cards, and they can get into rooms that regular employees can't get into. And like every once in a while, like a door will open, you'll watch them walk in, you kind of wonder what's going on back there. Like, oh, that's cool. They got like a fridge back there, snacks, you know? Like what happens in that? And you just kind of, everybody's like talking about it, like, oh, dude, I hear it's so cool back there. Like the AC blows cooler, you know? It's unbelievable. They got big screen TVs, you know, and everything's going great back there. And you're just like, man, that'd be so cool. All I have is I have access to the vending machine here. Like, that's all I've got. I don't get a chance to. But then one day, the owner of the company, like the dad, he hands out access cards to everyone and says, hey, it's not just about people that are like my nieces or my nephews or my, it's not just about my own kids or my wife. It's access available for every one of you. And now your new key card works anywhere in the building. And you're like, dude, I'm not limited to this dumpy vending machine. Like now I get to go to the back. Now I have access to everything. And here's what I want you to know. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13 says that you have access to everything. That it's all available for you. That you get that key card access. And it's not because the reason why that family illustration works, it's not because your employer looked at you and said, hey, good job, you're killing it. It's because you're a son or a daughter of the King. That's why. And sonship and daughtership, by the way, has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with us. We're born sons or daughters. That's it. Like, that's all you had to do was just keep living, and that's what you've done. It's like celebrating a birthday, you know? I had a birthday a few weeks ago. Thanks. It was cool. I think birthdays are just awkward. I try not to bring it up. I was at a funeral on my birthday, and so like it was a really incredibly awkward, you know. And I just made sure that I'm not gonna like bring up the fact that it's my birthday at this guy's funeral. Like I just felt like it would be a weird thing. I was at a lunch afterwards, and I accidentally leaked it out somehow, and it felt like the biggest Michael Scott moment ever. Like I just felt like, oh, I hate that that happened, right? But I say that to say, birthdays are weird for me because I struggle with them because it's like, hey, you just kept living, so we're going to throw a party for you. That's basically what that is. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's this undeserved, like, thing. Like, yeah, I just woke up 365 times, and here we are again. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's it. I don't know. And some of you do, like, a whole week. Some of you do a whole month. Some of you are very extra about it. But anyways, that's my whole thing. That's my old bit on birthdays. So it's good. It's not that funny. All right. So, but the reality is that we have this limited. In our mindsets, we think that my access to God must be limited because maybe I don't have it all together. Yeah, our access to God is potentially limited because of shame from our past, because of our own failures, because of our own fears or insecurity. Like, we have this, like, in our minds, the only thing that's limiting our access to God is not God, it's us. There's not a heart out there that's far from God. Like, we've been brought near to God. It's not limited. The third thing is access to Jesus means that you belong. I love this, that we belong. In verse 19, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You're members of God's family. Look at this, verse 20. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and the cornerstone of Christ himself. Then in verse 21, we are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. You know, you could easily read this and just miss it. But what Paul is saying is it's not about a building anymore. The church is not a building I drive to. It's a movement that I choose to be a part of, a movement that's helping people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Now, up to this point, the church really was a building. Like, temple worship was where you experienced God. Like, that was it. And now Paul is telling this new church in Ephesus, he's saying, hey, this has all been flipped upside down. He's saying this, you are the temple. There's no longer, hey, just temple worship. Like, you're God's holy people, and we're joined together in him. That's the cool thing about the church, by the way, is there is one thing that unites Grace River Church. You know what it is? It's not just our love of Cardinals baseball. It's not just the love of Blues hockey or the Kansas City Chiefs. Like those are all things that most of us that really have it together would say, yeah, we share that commonality together. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you're cheering on the Spurs. Jacob would ask that you would. Nobody's ever came back from two games down, but they're going to do it. They're going to totally try to do it. Anyway, so it's tough, man. It's tough. I've been kind of a closeted Spurs fan since I've met Jacob a bit, and I can't get on the Pistons bandwagon with Paul. I don't really have an NBA team, so when people that are close to me have an NBA team, I'm like, you know what? I'll just adopt your team. And I wish you'd do that with the Chiefs, but you won't, some of you. With the NFL, it's fine. But I don't know. You're still hurt by the Rams. I get it. It's fresh. It's been 10 years, guys. Anyway, so what brings us together, though, isn't fashion, isn't style, isn't money, isn't occupations. Like, when you look at Grace River Church, it's really this interesting group of people with different past backgrounds, with different circumstances. The other day, in staff meeting, we started staff meeting with what are five things that we've all done? We did 10 things. What are 10 things? It took us 20 minutes to come up with it. Like, turns out we'd all been in a tanning bed, which I thought was weird. But it's actually, and not all the staff were there. Actually, Paul and Jacob were absent in that meeting, so I don't know if they've been in one, so you have to ask them later. But I share that story because, like, I think that there's this thing where we assume that most of the people that come to church here have something in common. Do you realize there's only one thing that we have in common? It's Jesus. And that one thing, that one person, changes everything. When I even think about the people that sit in small groups together or people that serve on a team together, they come from different occupations, different educational backgrounds, different places in the world, but yet, they're joined together. And what's really interesting is Jews and Gentiles did not like each other. And Paul is writing this and he's saying, hey, guess what? You're going to get along. You're going to, and the reason why you're going to get along is because you're going to worship Jesus forever together. Like, and there is a great thought behind that. And here's the thing. Ultimately, this access that we have because of Jesus, this access means that you belong. Listen to me. You get a key card. Like, you have access to this God. You belong to him. Imagine for a second if you had a phone number of somebody that's a celebrity or a sports star that you really admire and look up to, all right? So imagine for a second if I had Patrick Mahomes' phone number. Dude, it's a good thing I don't. I don't even know what I'd do with it, you know? Like I feel like I'd send him a birthday text, you know? Like, speaking of birthday, I feel like that would be right. Maybe an anniversary text. I'd totally send Patrick Mahomes. After a big win, I'd probably send him a text. And after a really tough loss, I'd probably say, hey, man, hang in there. And he would block my number. He'd be annoyed. Like, he'd be like, dude, stop it. But some of you, like, what if you had, like, Taylor Swift's phone number? You know? Some of you are like, I would delete it. Anyway, so, but in all seriousness, or Travis Kelce or somebody like that, like you think about, you know, Wimby's number, Jacob. I mean, can you imagine? Like, what would you do? You say, hey, man, tough pass the other night. Really tough when you threw it to that guy's back. Anyway, so, whole thing. Oh, it's tough, man. That's tough. But ultimately, you've got God's number. Like, your access to God is not limited. Even to this build, like, some people are convinced the only place I can talk to God would be in a building like this. And I want you to know, it's not even limited to that. Like, you can connect with God anywhere. Now, don't be that person that's like, yeah, you know what? My church is in the woods. I connect with God in the wilderness, you know? All right, I get it. That's the dumbest thing you could ever say, but I get it. Yeah, and they're not wrong. They're not wrong. Like, absolutely, dude. I mean, I've had some of my best worship moments this year have actually been in nature. You know, like, some of my best moments this year have been like, man, I can't believe this God created all of this, and yet he still thought of me. But this access means that I belong no matter what my background is or even what my current present is. You belong. Here's what religion teaches you. You belong when you start behaving. That's what religion teaches you. You know what the Bible teaches you? Is you belong before you even knew the rules. Before you even understood the rules, you belong. Like, you belong not because of your achievements. You belong because there's a God who's crazy about you, that wants a relationship with you. Then also the fourth thing is this, is it leads to unlimited life change. We skip to the third chapter here. And I encourage you to go read all of chapter 2 and all of chapter 3, but with our limited time, I just was able to narrow it down to this. So access to Jesus really means unlimited life change. Let's look at this in verse 16 of this passage here. Here's a prayer that Paul prays. And again, I want you to notice that his prayer here has nothing to do with miracles. It has nothing to do with answered prayers. And has everything to do with those believers in Ephesus experiencing God. That's his prayer. Look at this here in verse 16. I pray that from his glorious, look at this, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Where's Christ? In your heart. You are the temple. There isn't some barrier between you. Man, how cool is it that the home of Jesus, his home field advantage, is inside of you? And he says this, that your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong, that you'd be rooted in him. Verse 18, and may you have the power to understand all, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. Our problem is not a sin problem. Our problem is that we don't understand just how much God loves us. Because when I understand the depth of God's love, the height, the width, the length of his love, dude, it changes the way I live my life. I don't want to sin. I want to follow him. Verse 19, again, this speaks to experience. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Now, experience is different than religion, because religion is just like information. And dude, information never changed a soul. My personality type is not one that loves rules. Like, you would think, like, as a pastor, I'm a pretty good rule follower. I'm not really into rules. I don't like it, because rules never changed my life. Information, yeah, it's good to know, you know, but like, the reality is info doesn't change you. What Paul is suggesting here is not information, but experience. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. I want to time out for a second. There's some things that you can do to experience this, and I talked about it earlier, but if you've never been on a missions trip, I want you to go on one. You know why? I want you to have that experience, because there's nothing like worshiping God with people that don't speak your language, and you like recognize the song, but you don't understand the words, and you're like, time out, wait a second. You mean the God here is the same God in St. Louis? Like, the sinners here, the broken people here, are the same broken people that live near us? Like, we're all God's people in need of Him? Like, there is just something about that. That's one experience. Another thing I want you to experience, serving. Because I really believe there's nothing that'll change your life like serving, like giving your life back to God. I want you to experience generosity. Like, I want you to give to this camp fund, and here's why. Because I want you to see pictures of kids at camp and go, dude, I was a part of that. I want you to watch kids get baptized a few weeks after camp, and I want you to, like, I want you to experience God, man. That's what I want. Like, the greatest thing that Grace River could ever give you is not information, is not more Bible knowledge so you can forget about it. The greatest thing that we could do for you at Grace River is to give you an experience that changes your heart and changes your life. And that was Paul's prayer. Paul pastored these people. He knew them well. He would have known their names and their kids' names, and if they had pets, he would have known their names. They didn't have cats back then. No, I don't know. They probably did. They were sinners then too. But I just want you to experience God. If you own a cat, you're not necessarily, we're all sinners. So then you'll be made, look at this. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And then in verse 20, now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or think. Now, typically when I talk about this passage, if you've been around, I talk about this a lot. Ephesians 3:20, I feel like it's been a prayer of mine really over the last 12 years. Like, God has done infinitely more than I could ever ask or think at Grace River. Like, it blows me. In my own family, in my own personal life, God has done infinitely more than ever I could ask or think. But what's amazing this week, as I prepared this sermon, I looked at the first part of verse 20, and it actually rocked me a bit. And I'm a little convicted, because I've never even brought this up. Verse 20, now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us. I always just rush to the back end like, oh man, He'll do infinitely more than you can ask or think. Whoa! Like Buzz Lightyear, infinity and beyond, that's amazing. Like, whoa, that's crazy. But what I've missed is the work that He does within us. Within you and me. Like us. Like, God wants us to work together for His collective mission. And He does that together. So there's some next steps I want you to think about with this sermon. The first one is this. If you have not received access to God, we want to give you the opportunity today to do that. That you and I, again, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, maybe you've been to church, maybe this is your first week, or you've been here for a while, but you've never understood the access that you have to God. Maybe you've been confused, or you misunderstood your access to God. And maybe for the first time, you're like, okay, there's a God who gave me an access card, and I haven't ever used it. Like, the offer is there. Can you imagine if the boss offers you that and you go, yeah, I'm good. I'm good with my limited access. Every right-minded person would go, no, man, I want to know the height and the depth and the length of this love that this God has for me. And it's yours to receive. Stop making it about your achievements and instead go, man, I'm receiving this gift of God's grace. The second thing is that you would use your access. For the Christian, for the person that's been following Jesus for a while, listen to me. Use it. Like, God has given you this access so you can do more than just a Sunday morning experience. That you would experience God on your Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays, that you would use this access card. We have this unlimited access to God, and sometimes the only time we talk to Him is in these moments right here on a Sunday morning. And you wonder, man, God feels distant. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Like, allow this summer to be a moment where you use your access to God. Where you wake up every day and before you start scrolling, your knees hit the floor and you talk to Him. You open your Bible and you use your access. You drive to work and instead of listening to country music or whatever it is that you listen to that you fill your heart up with, what if you listen to some Christian music, like some worship stuff, and just set your day in a different tone? I don't pick exclusively on country music, but it is terrible. I'm joking. I'm joking. I've picked on a lot of people here today. Receive access. Use your access. And the third thing is share your access. Man, we have this access to this God. And what's amazing, the shocking statistic out there is that 90% of Christians will never share their faith. 9 out of 10. And I do not want that to be the case at Grace River. We practice this thing at Grace River called a Francis list, which is a list of people that are friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, co-workers, enemies, and strangers. Those are the 7 types of people that God has put in our lives that we ought to be sharing that access with. And you may wonder, like, how would I even do that? How would I share that? You know what? Here's all it is. You just share your story. We should all be able to have a 1 minute, a 3 minute, and a 5 minute version of what it is that Christ has done in our lives. And just share that access. We have that access. Now let's go share it. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? I just wonder today if there's anybody in the room that's ready to receive that access. We want to give you the chance right now to do that. For the Christian in the room, would you prepare your heart for communion? If you need to repent, repent. If you need to make something right with somebody, to make the decision to make it right with them, I want to give you a moment right now just to receive God's grace to know Him. If you're not a Christian in the room, you can pray this prayer right now and become a Christian. You can have unlimited access to God. God, I admit that I need You. Been living my life on my own for far too long. And God, I believe that it was Your Son that died on the cross for my sin, that it was His blood that gave me unlimited access to You. So God, today I confess with my heart and with my life, You and only You to be my Savior. Thank You for saving me, for changing me, and making me new. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's receive communion today together before we're dismissed. In fact, would you just stand with me as we receive this together? And we'll peel back the layers of communion here. You can go ahead and do that as I talk. But the Apostle Paul gave the Church of Corinth instructions on communion here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. And it says this, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and He gave thanks for it. He broke it into pieces, and He said this, 'This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" Let's receive the bread together. In the same way, in verse 25, in the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with My blood. Do this in remembrance of Me as often as you drink it." Let's receive the cup together. Then in verse 26, this is the point about sharing your access. For every time you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Man, let's share this access that we found in Christ. God bless you. Can't wait to see you back next week. God bless. We'll see you. Thank you.